Our gospel lesson this morning, the words of Jesus coming from John, are hard to hear now, but even more so if you are a good, understanding, Orthodox Jew in the Middle East in the turn of life. It's hard, because all throughout the Old Testament it says, no. You do not drink blood, because only God can give life, and life is in the blood. You don't do that. So if you have meat or you have chicken, you wouldn't have pork, by the way. If you have meat or you have chicken, the blood, or a lamb, the blood has to be completely drained out. You don't eat other human beings, period. Those are the words. That's the understanding. And so what we get from this morning's gospel, that starting at verse 53, is in a response to verses 51 and 2, where the locals are saying, who is this guy? How does he say I came down from, what? We know his mom and dad. He didn't come from heaven. He came from Mary. We got that. Who does he think he is anyway? So he makes it clear. If we believe that out of the Gospels, Jesus was kind of hinting around at things, reread this morning. There ain't no hint there. It is black and white. Eat and drink and live. Don't die. It's crystal clear. And he makes it clear that the bread that came down from heaven that was scooped up on as manna and so forth, yeah, God gave that to preserve them for a time, but they all died. Eat this bread, drink this wine, and live eternally with Christ. There's a verse from our first lesson. And coupled with the thrust of the gospel this morning is really the basis of where I want to go. From the first lesson, it says, leave simpleness and live. Walk in the way of insight. When we deal with Proverbs, especially this set of Proverbs, we have two women. Wisdom, the right way to go, and folly, not a good choice. Okay? And we hear what folly does and how she's just desirable. And then we get wisdom. And all wisdom says is, you know, I've prepared the feast. You who are simple, leave your simple ways and come with discernment. Come with understanding and live. So today, with the gospel, that the eternal life offered only by God, is through participation in that meal. The bread of life, the wine of life, the Eucharist. So putting the two verses together means that walking in wisdom and insight is being in Christ, partaking of the living bread from heaven. Excuse me. The word insight from the first lesson means wisdom or the power to form a sound judgment on any matter, and to have understanding on those matters that mean something. Then being in Christ is the wisest way to walk in this world. But how can one be in Christ and we in him and he in us? As the first lesson says, partake from his table, eat and drink from the Christ, the feast that he's prepared for us. Well, one of the best things of hot summer days at Grandpa's house is the pool, and especially the excitement and joy of squirt guns. Having a grandson who's a very good shot means I'm a very big target. And in our household, it's all fun and games until somebody gets shot in the eye. So we fill the guns with pool water, and shoot away. And when we're done, the plastic half-empty squirt guns are dropped back in the water, the pool water, to bob up and down, till gathered up at the end of the day. The pool water inside the guns, along with the guns bobbing in the pool water. When we are in Christ, and Christ is in us and around us all the time, all at the same time, and a wise person recognizes that reality of life and lives fully in it, that is the grace of God. But sadly, we're in a culture that seeks wisdom as something else, with fame or wealth or glory, someone to look up to. The heroes of today, in the popular sense, are rock stars, baseball players, football players, basketball players. Not too many soccer players, but you catch the drift. But we get movie stars, people of fame and fortune. They're on the TV, they're in the news, whatever it is. And even though they've made their money playing somebody else on TV, we'll listen to them when they have something to say about things that are important. The wise today are not seen for their insight or their intuition, their discerning knowledge of life. No, the wise are just the heroes, the ones the world looks up to, the ones that get the press. I'd probably venture a guess that if I asked most of you if you knew who N.T. Wright was, or John MacDonald, or Joseph Ratzinger, many of you would go, "Nah," have difficulty placing them. But if I ask everyone pretty much, do you know what Kardashian is, or Kanye, or Brady, or LeBron? Most of you would get most of those. Our culture is interested in the fame, not the substance of life. We've pursued that other woman in the Proverbs, folly. So wisdom isn't outsmarting God. Wisdom is living in and with and through God. Wisdom is being in Christ and surrounded by Christ. Wisdom is eating and drinking from the feast which God has prepared for you, with the understanding that you are participating in Christ. Wisdom of God is living in the relationship with Him, being able to eat and drink from God's table, and being able to accept or rejoice in the forgiveness and the new life given to each one of us by way of the cross. Wisdom means being with God, turning into His house to take all that God has so freely given to us. Turning into His house in this day and age means coming to church so that we can stay in relationship with God, that we may be wise and be able to be filled with God's wisdom. But in a book called Faith Alive by Barbara Bruckhoff, she says, unfortunately, the happy hour for Christians, or fortunately, the happy hour for Christians, should be our hour of worship on Sunday morning. But how many honestly feel that when you're awakened by the alarm on the Lord's Day and you realize that it's another church day, can you hardly wait for the service time to roll around, or do you roll over in bed, moan and groan and cover your head and wish that once more, once again, maybe like last week and the week before, you could just stay there and sleep? Why get up? Why go in? Is it boring? Is it time-consuming? Is it thought that worship is agony, or is it ecstasy? Think we're coming to meet God, or just coming to meet each other? But if we're coming to meet God, that's just not anybody, it's God. Shouldn't the delight and suspense of worship make our breath short and our hearts beat faster? Sure, God is God, and He's everywhere, but He has to be somewhere in particular. And that somewhere is here in His house on Sunday morning. Having the true wisdom of Christ means participating in Him. And with Christ, that happens in its fullest extent. Its fullest extent, its most pure extent, in worship in God's house. Sure, God can be found in nature, or on the golf course, or on your back deck. But the fullest revelation, the fullest view, the best picture we see of God is right here in His house on Sunday. We get to hear his word, partake in his meal, and we witness through baptism the growth of his kingdom, and we join together in prayer and song and praise to God. We are called, as Anglicans, we're called in a liturgical church. And some people understand that, some don't. That's okay. But we have a liturgy. We do things a particular way. Liturgy, in the Greek, means work of the people. We come to church in order to work of praise to God. But when you think about it, honestly, how many of us are really coming to work on Sunday morning to praise God? How many are here out of true delight to praise him in work and song and prayer and meditation upon his word? How many, as we hear in Ephesians, tells us to address each other now with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to make that joyful noise to the Lord. We're to make melody with the Lord in our heart. We're blessed here at St. Columba with musical people. They assist us week in and week out to do just that. But in all things, in everywhere, we need to give thanks to the Lord God in the name of Jesus. So do we really work at praising God while we're here? Or do we let that false wisdom of the world, folly, invade our hour with Christ? Are you sitting here thinking about other things? Maybe that new preseason football game that's on TV, or food that might be roasting in the oven? Are you thinking about next week and the work that has to be done? Are you thinking about what you're doing here and now, worshiping God? Are you here with your entire being, your mind, your heart, and soul for Jesus? Jesus says we're to love the Lord our God with all of that. But are you here with all of that? Can't we even love him for an hour? 1 hour a week? Again, with the whole being that we have. Mind, body, and soul. Or are you worried I'm going to preach too long this time? Not take a break? And just keep you here for hours? Page 4. Being in Christ means to be in joy, to be enthralled. The ecstasy of his presence, no matter what other thought may come through your head, it's all the stuff of the world, and it doesn't matter. When you've found the joy and thrill of being in Christ, worship becomes more than a duty. It becomes a royal work. We are here to praise the Lord. It is a royal work of praising and thanksgiving God for all the great gifts that he gives us. Worship becomes not just standing and doing nothing, but being involved in one's whole being, all of it, mind, heart, and soul. Coming to worship is that royal work of eating and drinking from the living bread and the living wine, the feast that God has provided for us. Coming to worship is being totally in Christ. And when we are in Christ, we live for Christ. And this act of being in Christ is the act of worship. And then it makes a difference in our daily lives. It gives us a purpose and a direction, a guidance to life itself. As we live in Christ, we end up showing Christ to our neighbor. And that makes life rich and full, full of wisdom, not in the worldly sense, but wisdom in the godly sense. That we have a rich relationship with Christ day in and day out. Worship, being in Christ, then sets the tone for the rest of the week as we live in Christ. Did you hear in this morning's gospel? Eat my flesh and drink my blood, or die. What Jesus actually said was, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and live. It shocks us when the negative is heard. You then begin to sense the seriousness of worship, the finality of this life, the wonder and purpose, the lift of faith, the possibility and demands for service. And can you admit, if only to yourself, that you're hungry? God, I'm hungry. God, I'm starving to death. Feed me, Lord. Feed me in this holy food. Are you being fed here? If so, go out into the world and be with Christ. If you're starving enough to admit to Christ that you need his living bread from heaven, are you starving enough to admit you need more than a superficial relationship with Christ for you to go about the world and be his? Are you ready to drink from his wine, to eat his living bread? Are you starving enough that in this worship hour, you sense that you are truly in the presence of the Almighty? And in that presence, you stand condemned, sentenced to death, sentenced for exclusion. But because of Jesus, because of his offering on the cross, all of that has been taken away. Are you starving enough to return again next week? Because you need to continue in that relationship with Christ. Have you found the joy, the richness, the pleasure of being in Christ and belonging to him? How hungry are you? In our relationship with Christ, we need to respond to his gracious love for all our life. Have you been one who has taken but not given? As we live in Christ out in the world, Paul says, that we are to make the most of our time by walking as the wise. Our life in Christ does not stop when you walk out these doors. It continues. It continues as you present Christ to your neighbor, to your spouse, your children, people you meet, your workmate. Our relationship that we establish over and over and over again each Sunday as we commune with God, we worship and allows us to live in Christ out in the world. So my sisters and brothers, I ask you to be filled with Christ from his table, then go into his world to do his will. Amen.